7:25. The latter part of the verse, where it speaks that he ever lives to make intercession for us. You may be seated. Before I get into my thoughts for tonight, let me just share a little bit in review. I said this morning that people think of two great events in the life of Christ, his birth, his death, and resurrection. As far as most people know, that could be the end of the story. But our text says he ever lives. We know that. But he tells us that in this earth, in life, he had a ministry of teaching, healing, doing these things. But the ministry of Jesus Christ continues right now tonight. Not that he is preaching or teaching in that bodily form, but he is at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he is interceding for you and I. I don't believe there will ever be. There never will be an end to that. He ever lives to make intercession for you and I. I said this morning, when we were dealing with mercy and grace, we understand that by grace through faith, we're saved. We thank God for His grace, that unmerited favor. Thank God for His grace. Grace is not having to pay for what you're guilty of. But I ask the question, is that the end of the work of grace? Do you ever need the God's grace living in this life? We need mercy. We need grace. My mercy and your mercy is not worth anything. It's only His redeeming, sustaining, and keeping grace and mercy. So what do I do? As I said this morning, I come up short or whatever. I go to Him. I go to Him not because of what I deserve, but I go to Him in the hope that He will be merciful. I've never repented of the failure, the shortcoming, a sin in my life that He did not forgive. I am guiltless tonight. You're guiltless tonight if you have repented. There have been things that I've done against people. I ask those people to forgive me, and I'm asking you right now if I've ever in my life, and I know I have, but whatever I've done to hurt your feelings, I ask you to forgive me. I'm sorry I did that. I never want to do that again. And we forgive one another. But I go to God in the place of intercessory prayer, asking Him for what I do not deserve. But as we explain this morning, Son, of that mercy and grace, the power of Almighty God is more than we can imagine. I want to pick up here tonight. We'd like to let it be this morning with the glory of God. But we sometimes say that when we fail God, we have fallen short of the glory of God. I have a commission of God, a command of God to my life. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. We quote that scripture, that holiness without which no man shall see God. But then we fall short, not only of God's glory, but of God's command. I was preached a message tonight entitled Holy. Holy, holy. There was a man sitting right over in this section. He came to me. He was still visibly sick. When it really begins to get on the inside, it will affect you on the one thing. Have I fallen short of God's holiness? I'm still doing it, but I've got to admit it. I have. Have I fallen short of the glory of God? I'll admit it.
that I have. I said to you this morning, a part of the miracle of all of this is in that intercessory prayer, God said, I would that you would sin not. But we sin anyway. When I go and claim the promise of God, I would that you would sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He doesn't want me to sin. He's giving you power over sin. Read the book of Romans. I've given you power over all the power of sin. I did not have to do that, but I did it. I was ashamed of it. I was under conviction for what I had done. But all the time, I told you, the greatest lesson maybe I've learned in all of my life is that God is not trying to get rid of me. With all of my guilt, I know where Jesus was. In the presence of the Father, making intercession for me that I would not fall. But when I did fall, He could have cast me aside. And so He said, I'm going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to give you what you need. So if we sin willfully, after that we've come to the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice. He died once, and He died for all. He's not going to die again. I would not recommend that you try to do what I just described. And you've got to tell you, not trying to get rid of it. He was praying. He was interceding on my behalf. What about the times that we, and every one of us, are guilty of this? We're stubborn. You know? Let me touch you when this is on the way. No, don't, because I've had my bounds of stubbornness. I mean, in fact, stubborn. God says no. I say yes. God says no. I say do. God says, that's not my will. I say, God, it's my will. I don't repent when you say it. Don't say that you've not done it. There was a young man with a school of Christ. He wasn't here on a Sunday morning working in the office. He wasn't here on a Sunday morning. Brother Clendenin had already asked him to preach that Sunday night. Brother Clendenin preached Sunday morning. He was here that Sunday night. He was like, I gotta preach. That guy come in here and have a lesson on the school of Christ and bust my head. I mean, he's knocking me and anybody else from one end of the room to the other. I was straight to him after church. I said, where were you this morning? He said, I had a man give me a ticket to the Houston Texans football game. I went to the football game. I said, you went to the football game Sunday night? And you come in here beat me to death on a Sunday night? You know what he said to me? Well, I repented. If you go to the graduate, thank you to God, not me. That's what he told me. He said, I know it was wrong. I did it and I repented. That is nothing short of being stubborn. And that might be strange. When I am stubborn, it means I go my own way in spite. And I want to tell you, it may not have worked this way with you, but I've always paid a price for that. It has always cost me something. God said, those that I love, I chasten. Have you ever been chastened with God? If you're stubborn and God doesn't chasten you, you're not his child. Everyone that he loves, he chastens. We pay a price. That's why many times we don't want to pray. There is a sense of guilt. You don't have it when you mow in the yard by making biscuits. You have it when you get in the presence of God. When you're still in Christ and God will talk to you, that's when it will come. We don't go to prayer meeting tomorrow, Friday, and tomorrow night is prayer meeting night. We don't bother with it. We don't get anything out of it. My pastor, P.H. Clinton, Burton, Hamilton, Clinton, he says that nothing will make an atheist out of you any faster than for you to pray and not be imagined. Nothing will make an atheist out of a man quicker than for that man to pray and not be imagined. The Bible says, ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things. Seek me, and I will make a way where there seemingly is no way. What he's saying is, I will answer prayer. Let me repeat this morning. That while we are sitting here, right this very second, Jesus is making intercession for the Muslims, making intercession for Levi, whatever your name is, Hector, Dwight, David, Dwight, Jimmy, whatever, Jesus is making intercession for you right now. Thank God for that. Have you ever tried to help someone and they refused to help? In some way, shape, form, or fashion, they will refuse your help. You may refuse Bobby Wilson's help. It's a very with Jesus Christ. I wouldn't wait for Jesus to be praying for me right now, the ever living, to make intercession for us. I would wait for him to be praying for me. Father, that's my plan. I went to earth, I suffered, I died, that you might be born again. The Spirit of God fell with him. He repented. He's my child. I love him. I loved him enough to leave heaven and go die for him. But he's messing up. I would hate to be so cold and calculated against the prayer for my life. There is something that Jesus brought through his death, life, death, resurrection. And that is, he said, I no longer call you servant. Right? He said, I am a friend that will stay closer to you than anything. I've got two precious brothers. They're my heroes. I wish I could be like them and I knew them with every breath of you. There is something about that scripture. A friend is so close to me. I don't call you servant. I call you friend. Friendship. What is it? It's fellowship. Songwriters, I put it like this. He walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. Fellowship. He said, I never go to sleep. I never close my eyes. Wherever you are, whatever you need, whenever you need it, no matter how serious. I'm right there. Come on. Then the light of the world. There is no man like me. There is nothing nocturnal. It's all day. He said in the word of God, my ear is turned towards you. With the apple of his eye. Right? Fellowship. Friendship with Jesus. Fellowship with Jesus. When the Christ of Jesus is preached. If any of them ever are divorced, in this room, this teacher, you break it up. You be the one to break it up. But there are things that will break it up. Sin will break fellowship with God. Think about what I'm saying. I can remember a scripture in the Word of God that says that if you sin, that God will stop loving you. I don't remember it was said. But if you have and when you sin, I won't love you anymore. How does he show that love? Does he show with judgment against us? Rightfully so by cutting us off. But he tells me, if a man slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. If a man wants you to go a mile, you go too. Jesus, how many times should I forgive a man in a day? Should I forgive him 7 times? Jesus said, I tell you, 70 times 7 in the same day. I do not comprehend all of the love of God. But when I discover, when I sin, when I fail, when I come short of the glory of God, he cannot stop loving me. He may correct me. He may chastise me. But he still loves me. He still loves me. You know that. God hates his son, but he loves us. Everything has its result. If and when we sin, when we stop and watch it. We're told in the Bible not to grieve. G-R-I-E-P-E. Grieve not the hope. I don't know why earthquake and why I'm being here tonight. I'm not going to. They said, you cannot grieve and be it. It's a personality. You're only saying. He has a personality. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever man soweth, he shall also reap. Now, we're not a people. Can I just talk to you? That's what I'm doing. We are not a people that believe in a generational curse. Right? But in the Word of God, God said, I will remember your sin to the third and fourth generation. There's a price to pay, brother. I sometimes wonder if the prayer request cards that we get, and I do wonder this, I don't say to you. I wonder if I try and our daughter that saw something in mom and dad. Do you believe that too? That they don't want to be a part of it. Somewhere in the workings of God Almighty, whatever we've done, we will reap what we've done. You cannot. One day, I believe it was Longview, Texas, had a big set of children living in the auditorium there with Brother Clinton. Those speakers were that guy, extremely heavy. I'm putting those in there. Trailer by myself, we were coming home. He began to help me load that. Then he told me, but he wanted to talk to me. Now I will tell you, when he talked, I listened. When he talked, I listened. We were not near as conversational as we were him talking to me. We're putting those bigger speakers in that little 5x8 trailer. He said, son, he said, I'm so old. I'm just listening. I've never said a word to him before or after. He said, I'm so deceived. And he said, I pray, God, please let this come up clearly. But he said, it come up my ears. I knew there was something on his mind, something that he was talking about. I figured if he wanted me to know anything more, he would tell me. I didn't try to preach back to him. I didn't try to ask him what it was. But every one of us had prayed that something would come up different. And God said, you will reap what you sow. He said, if you sow to the wind, you will reap a mighty wind. You may not feel like you need prayer. We looked this morning into the book of Romans. Where Paul was telling those Romans, pray for me, right? That great man of God realized that he needed prayer. We died this morning for that priest being a man. When Daniel dug through the wall, you know where he found all the corruption and sin in the life of the priest? Inside that wall. I don't know how it works, but a man could go to a priest. So I want you to pray for me. That priest may not have liked that man. I don't know. He may have forgot what the man of us said. You can come up with a lot of surmises and a dangerous thing. but my intercessor sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. He and the Father are one. He and the Father are one. He said, I know your need before you ever did. I believe that when Jesus was praying for me, he's praying for me in things that I'm not even aware of. He's coming against me. Charles has been there. Humboldt, Tennessee. That man's been just what my mind and he does. His wife had cancer at the brain. Almost caught me. I'm praying in a motel 12 miles down the road. And I said, God, if you were here, God, it's just like it. I said, God, if you were here, it's just like it. On credit, I will promise you that I will do this certain thing. We were in the bus, and we had some sharp turns. It was a driving rainstorm. I pulled my bus up on the parking lot. I'm going to try to waste it. Pastor, I'm going to get you Christian. He's praying for you. I walked in, Brother Lanky was on one side of the church. He went running across to me on the other side of the church when I got in the door. Tell him, it happened, it happened, it happened. What happened? God healed my wife of brain cancer. I can tell you the whole of that story. But you know, I could hardly rejoice with him. Because I remember the promise I made to God that we'll do that. We find ourselves in situations that we make God promise us. It's in your Bible, I'm quoting scripture today. He said, be good to you, never made a promise, then you make it a grace. You may have forgotten about that promise, that commitment. I was in Morrisville, Maine one night, laying on the bed. And in evangelist covers. And I thought about what it would be like to break a vow to God. I'm going to tell you, those things come to me. You will reap what you sow. God, I'm stubborn. God, I sin. God, I've broken a vow. Come on to me. I'm praying for you. You're not going to get what you deserve, but you're going to get grace. You're going to get mercy. You're going to get help. It all comes by fellowship. It's in the book of Exodus, chapter 23 and verse 28. This is right after Israel has served by making a golden calf. This is the most common verse. I will not grow up in the midst of you, for thou art a still man. In Isaiah 59:2, he says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. That's a mess. But I said, I will do those things, and then you and God's not to be me. But I've got to make that up. I was talking to a man who was in the office the other day, maybe 2 weeks ago. His wife was a wonderful Christian lady. He's not a Christian man. They used to go to his church. I was talking to him, and she had told me in front of him that he'd been discouraged throughout his senior season. I told him the story of my dad. I said, Dad, did everybody ask you what you saw? Yes. Well, I'm glad that they weren't like you out. There's a lot of things that goes on. Even the Lord God said, I will have my face to you. The children of Israel, he declared they were still there. Sister McBride, teaching in the book of Corinthians, did a marvelous job with a tender subject of circumcision. God knew about our hearts. It is not that I was circumcision in our hearts. It's that they need. It was that image circumcision of the heart. Sin destroys. Sin ruins. Sin takes away confidence in God. How many people have I met that I'm ashamed to pray. I'm not even sure God will hear me. He makes intercession toward you. He hears you. He's not willing that you perish. Our confidence is shaken, and our faith is undermined because of what we do. Blame it on somebody else, like that man did, like my daughter did. Blame it on somebody else. But every man will give an account to God for what he's done in his life, what he's good at. Confidence. We have confidence in the prayer of Jesus. When we know that we are displeasing God, it hinders our faith. It destroys our fellowship. We get to the place where we just assume God is here. I want you to turn to the Bible, please, to the book of Luke. I want you to see this. I'm reading you for this scripture. I'd like for you to read it. Luke 22, 42. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. That's what he's doing to us. But what did he say? That I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Be alive, Christ. It's a serious thing to take the name of God in vain. He said, you might be trying to get with somebody. It's serious. Here is Peter. He's been redeemed. He's been made new. He's a friend. And he's afraid that what he had done to Jesus was going to do to him too. Jesus understands. He denied Jesus Christ three times. But when that prophet spoke, he remembered the words of Jesus. Peter, you've made all of your plans and all of your thoughts. Don't ever let them be easy. I'm not going to be easy. If everybody else fails, I'm going to be. Look at me, Jesus. Because Simon, I'm going to talk to you soon. Before that cock was going to be done. And he did. So Jesus said, I'm going to take you to the outhouse and teach you a lesson. Jesus said, I'm going to ruin you, boy. I'm very glad. How dare you? He said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. We dealt this morning with that priest. But Jesus is the high priest. I'm going to bring this to a close in just a minute. I mean, we should have gotten something out of it. I've not always walked in obedience before God all the time when I feel like an intercession for me. I'm not giving anyone my things. To sin against Father and I. But he was watching. He knew what was going on. I've been in places where I could have been people and probably should have been. And 7 days, 4 to 9 days, on that January night, when the usual three took that game, I think it was the end of the kill. Why didn't they kill me? 7 days, one of me. Can I be honest with you, I think this was afraid. I was terrified. I was afraid. I went down to a hardware store because they told me, before you get out of the building, you need it. Before you get out of the building, you need it. I went down to a hardware store and I bought myself a little man shop. I was 22 years old. I got stopped in a little spot somewhere, thinking it was Arkansas. I got a gun in my car. I thought it was in the car. I'm going to look now. They took my car. That gun was in the car, but then it was gone. Kind of reminds me of Richard Norman, that when he stepped it up, he made my own eyes to see. Made skin on his hand. And looking at his mouth. And I picked it up. And all that stuff was taken out of my house. And he said, there was a lot of other problems. There was one for excuses. And he passed the sauce and the silk. And he went in my house. I had this gun in my hand. Took it out of the car. When I walked walked in the door, I remember my brothers and sisters coming in the middle. When you walked in the front door, and you see so many people, I believe that God has spoken to you. And you can keep that going on that day. That's the God I said. Grace and mercy, don't forget that for this week. Hold on to that. And remember this one thing, that He's alive and active. Pray. Beseeching the Father on our behalf. Holy God, Jesus loves you and is praying for you. Would you lift your hands and just praise Him with all of your heart?